It's 7 o'clock. I'm Carl Berkey, and I'd like to call the February 8th, 2016 Traffic Safety Commission meeting to order. Let's take a roll call. Let's just begin over here with Dave, and we'll go down around through.
David Hostetler.
Chris Kelly.
Jeff Greider.
Carl Berkey.
Neil Klein.
Daniel Emsley.
Zoe Jenkins.
Bob Andrews.
Brian Casey.
Jason Wirtz.
Thank you. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
Thank you. We'll begin. The next section is public comments, and I see a couple of folks in the audience. Do you want to speak about the Villa Road traffic safety stuff, or do you want to speak at all?
We came here.
Oh, you came to listen. Okay, well, welcome, and enjoy this evening. Are there any other public comments that should come before the committee tonight? I think not. Okay. I asked Brian about the minutes, and he said that they did successfully get recorded last month, but they didn't successfully get typed yet. They're being typed, and so we'll have them next month, and so we'll wait for those. Am I correct?
That's correct. You should have, hopefully we'll have two sets of minutes for you to review.
Thank you. New business. Let me just do a little bit of editorializing here. I met with Karin Hoffman, the city engineer, and we talked a little bit, and I said, you know, Karin, it seems to me that to do traffic calming policy that's a big, difficult topic. And I'm gonna ask if we could figure out a way to do maybe a little smaller bites and then get to traffic calming. So we talked about it, and she said, let's begin with a stop sign policy. And so I asked her if she and Jason could work something up. You should have received a draft copy of the stop sign policy in your packet. Hopefully you've gone through it, and I've asked Jason if he's prepared to lead us through that a little bit, and then we can talk about it and see whether we want to do anything with that policy. Mayor?
Consent calendar?
Oh.
And your public comments.
Okay. We did talk about public comments, and I don't think there were any. But the consent calendar, I didn't see any items on there. Is there anything that we should put on the consent calendar? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go to new business. Jason, can I ask you to come over and speak to us about the stop sign policy draft?
Good evening. My name is Jason Wirtz with the engineering department. If you guys don't mind, I thought I'd take just a few minutes here and touch on some broader stop sign educational stuff on how stop signs go in and that sort of thing. And I have a little handout, if it's all right if I hand that around. All right, so I don't take credit for this. I found this and thought the information was good, and so I thought I'd bring it and share with you. And there's some things that we can kind of go through a few of these items. If you turn it over to the side that doesn't have the stop sign, we can start there. And you can take this and look at it in more detail later if you'd like, but the basics of this is, you know, what's the purpose of a stop sign? And the purpose of a stop sign is to assign right of way for vehicles approaching intersection. It's not for controlling speed, reducing cut-through traffic. It's purely just to assign who has the right of way when you approach an intersection. And then there's oftentimes this conception that from residents that I have a speeding issue, I have cut through traffic, and we want to install stop signs, and stop signs are installed in areas that don't need stop signs for any reason other than what this perception of speeding or cut through traffic is. And what you have to be careful with is that by installing stop signs in areas that don't meet warrants for stop signs or the traffic hazards and conditions don't necessitate stop signs, you get instances where people start to get a perception of the stop sign is not necessary, so they blow through stop signs. They do the, you know, a quick rolling stop. They may slow down and stop, but then if they speed up. So if you have a series of stop signs in an effort to slow people down, people have a perception that I'm being slowed down, and so they speed up between those stop signs. So you might see a reduction in speed right around that stop sign, but in areas of the straighter stretches, they may go faster. And there's studies that show that that happens. You also could get instances of more instances of rear-end collisions. You have a potential, depending on the scenario, to have increased conflicts with pedestrians. So pedestrians may get a false sense of security in walking across an intersection with a stop sign. If it's in an area that people don't obey the stop sign very well, then there's an increased risk there with pedestrians. And so in general, just putting stop signs in places that are necessary and warrant the installation of a stop sign is important to help establish the driver's ability to use stop signs in an appropriate way at all times, so that when you see a stop sign, you know what it means and you obey it. And if you start putting stop signs all over the place where they don't need stop signs, then the value of that stop sign goes down. So if you flip that page over, I know I didn't read that word for word, but some of the gist of what's in there. So where should stop signs be installed? And you can look through this to get some details. But when you enter from a side street or a business onto an arterial or collector, you stop before you enter that. And then this one says intersections is approved by the city traffic engineer. In this case, this is a different city, and so we have a traffic safety commission here that approves all traffic control devices. So there's criteria in the past here in the traffic with the traffic safety commission. What we've done is we've done analysis of intersections where we look at the traffic data, the speeds, the number of vehicles, turning movements, accident history, all those sorts of things, and we do what's called a warrant analysis. And I won't get into the weeds of that, but there's certain criteria that are set out that are national standards for if you have this many vehicles traveling on the major roadway, that's a warrant for installing a stop sign. If you have a certain number of accidents within a certain time period that meet the criteria of if I install a stop sign, would those accidents not have occurred? Then you have a warrant for a stop sign. And so we've done in the past, what we've done is we'll do those warrant analysis and we come to you with a recommendation. And the other kind of key thing to keep in mind is that the meeting warrants for a stop sign doesn't mean you have to install a stop sign. You can still choose to not install a stop sign. In every case, you need to use, you know, as an engineer, we have to use our engineer's judgment and our recommendation, and you guys as commissioners have to use your best judgment to be able to make the decision if you support a stop sign in there. And so if you have warrants, doesn't mean you have to install a stop sign. If you don't have warrants, it doesn't mean you can't install a stop sign. You guys are the Traffic Safety Commission, and you guys have that ability to do that. That being said, that doesn't eliminate the city's liability. So that's a whole other discussion I'm sure we could get our city attorney to talk on if you guys are interested. But there's liability in putting in stop signs or taking out stop signs, and whether or not those stop signs should or should not have been there, and what outcomes there may be with accidents or that sort of thing, tickets, or whatever could come up from a legal standpoint. So, and we can chat back and forth, and I'm happy to answer questions on this sort of stuff too. I'm going to go through it quickly, and then we can talk back and forth.
Does anybody have a question they want to ask Jason now, before he goes on to the policy?
All right. So, what we decided to do in working with Carl a little bit is that the one of the largest requests that we get from residents is, can you install a stop sign at this intersection? And so in the past, what we have done is we look at it and we make a judgment call if it necessitates looking into it further by doing a traffic study, looking at the volumes and the speeds, and then we write up a recommendation and bring it to you. And so what we've done here is we've tried to establish in written what the city's stop sign policy is. And that's in an effort to clarify to the residents what the process is, when stop signs are allowed, when they aren't allowed, when they're straightforward, kind of by the book examples, this is the policy of yes or no, we would allow a stop sign to go in. So the state gives the authority to the local jurisdiction to control traffic, to install traffic control devices. The city of Newburgh, the city council, is that body. They have delegated that authority to the Traffic Safety Commission. So this commission is the body that would say yes or no to stop signs being installed. So if we go into the policy, it's on attachment A. I'll kind of walk you through the policy portion of this, and then we can look at the form a little bit. So the policy is intended to provide those warrants for when a stop sign would or would not be installed. And this just repeats kind of what I said earlier, in that the satisfaction of a warrant does not mandate the installation of a stop sign, nor does non-satisfaction of a warrant prevent such installation. So stop signs should not be installed to an attempt to control speed, and they should not be installed in an attempt to control volume. And we wanted to put that out there so that it's clear to residents that if the issue is speed, that stop signs may be a solution as part of a comprehensive look at an area, but they're not the solution for speed or volume. And then absent engineering data, which clearly indicates the need for stop signs, a residential intersection should remain uncontrolled. So that's where you have just a residential to residential intersection. That would remain uncontrolled. Is there any clarifications needed on that one? Okay, and then, so in order for the stop sign to be installed in a new location, one or more of the following criteria shall be met. So if we go to the next page, The provisions regarding a stop sign warrants of the manual of uniform traffic control devices. So this is saying we've done an analysis, we've looked at the warrants, and the intersection meets the warrants for the installation of a stop sign. So that's one way that the stop sign could be installed. Number two, there, all side streets entering onto arterial streets shall be stop controlled at the intersection with arterials. So these next ones that we're going to go through are a little bit, the first one is pure engineering numbers and warrants. These next ones are a little bit more guideline, more not quite so, you know, by the numbers. So all side streets entering arterial streets shall be stop controlled at the intersection with arterial. Intersections of collectors with collectors shall be four-way stops unless one collector street has significantly higher volume of traffic. The lesser volume collector street shall be stop controlled and the high volume collector street proceeds. Intersections of all other streets with collector streets shall be stop controlled at the intersection with the collector street. And then in the consideration of the intersection of two local streets, the following process is used. The overall area is examined. Through and continuous streets are identified. Cul-de-sacs and dead-end streets intersecting with the through or continuous streets shall be required to stop at the intersection. And when two through or continuous streets intersect, the street providing the most direct access to a collector or arterial, or which has significantly higher volume of traffic, shall become a through street. Now, what you'll find is in not every case, but in most cases, some of these more judgment-type warrants that we've laid out in the policy would match what a technical warrant analysis would come to. Not always, but for the most part. And the other thing that this allows us to do is it allows us to use a stop sign policy and apply that to a new development. So if you have a large subdivision going in town, where do they put stop signs? And so as part of their subdivision, they have, depending on the size of it, they'll have to do a traffic study, a traffic impact analysis. They'll have to analyze their development, and through that they would, you know, identify what's a through street, what's a dead end street, where would stop signs go. So the stop signs just don't end up on every single intersection, or just to kind of outline what the city's policy is for stop signs to be used, not only for installation or removal in existing areas, but for new development. And then the other part of this policy that we're hoping to accomplish is the stop sign request form. So right now, if you think if a resident thinks that an intersection needs a stop sign, they don't know what to do, who to talk to, how to bring that issue up. Some people may know through word of mouth or from what they read that they could come here and talk to you guys and tell you that their issue is. But this outlines a more clear process for them to be able to address, to bring up their complaint or their issue and have that be addressed. So the bulk of it is they fill this out, they describe the problem, they have to describe why they think it'll fix the problem, and then they need to get signatures from adjacent property owners. And what that will achieve is one individual going around and asking for us to do stop sign analysis at 50 intersections throughout town needlessly. So the theory would be that if you have multiple people in a neighborhood that feel that a stop sign is necessary or the removal of a stop sign is necessary, that it's worth a look. And so that's what we're trying to achieve with the stop sign request form. Also to lay out expectations of the process of how an issue would be addressed. So
let me suggest that if we have questions for Jason, that we ask them. Would that be appropriate at this point? Or if you have thoughts about the policy or about the practice that we have in town, you know, I think for me, it's always fascinating to listen to people talk about stop signs and why we have them and what they want them to do. And I think it might be helpful to have some of your perceptions and also comments about the policy and questions that you have of each other or Jason, and see what you think. And maybe you're going to say, this is stupid, let's not do this. But okay, go ahead, Dave.
This is David Hosteller. I had some questions for you, Jason. How often are you guys getting requests for stop signs from citizens?
We haven't had a request for stop signs probably in 9 months. We went through a phase of maybe a year where we got stop sign requests that seemed like every month, multiple a month. We kind of got backlogged with them. So it really comes in waves. It doesn't seem to be like a regular, we get one a month or one a quarter.
Are a lot of those questions, the requests, are they mostly because of volume or speed control? Even though that's not what the stop sign is meant for, but do you feel that a lot of people call in because of that?
I think that there are some of those requests for that, but there's also some that are pretty good. For example, 5th and Meridian was one that came somewhat recently. I guess it was a while ago. But that was an intersection. Their concern was safety at the intersection because of accidents. It actually had a decent accident history at the intersection, and stop signs, you know, should help that scenario. So a lot of times, though, people want stop signs because they think that it slows people down. So the other thing we're trying to do, and we've been trying to do, is when they do come in, we try to educate people on that stop signs aren't for slowing down traffic, and that studies show that, you know, outside of that stop sign area, people will actually go faster. It causes more noise. Gas and brake. You know, there's an economic impact to that. And then the other thing we do is we try to give them a better understanding of what the speeds really are on their road. So I think Crater or Edgewood was one that recently we got a complaint. They thought that they wanted stop signs, but before we even go there, let's see, are people really speeding? Because you have a perception of speeding. Are they really speeding? And let's try and answer that question first, and then if there's a need to address speed or if there's a safety concern because of speed at an intersection, let's look at it holistically or comprehensively. So I wouldn't say that there's just one, you know, repeating request. I'd say it covers all types of issues.
When a request is made, how are we doing the study on that? Because I remember, I think you had talked about in the past that like speed studies weren't happening, that the city wasn't doing them. I can't remember exactly on that.
Yeah, so in the past, we had traffic counters that we would go out, the tubes that go across the road, and we would run our own traffic counts and then do our own analysis on it. When the city upgraded their computing system, we don't have access to that software anymore, so we can't run the software. So, like I said, we haven't really had a lot of requests in quite a while. The recent one on Edgewood, we worked with the police department. They have a trailer that can actually record speed. So it doesn't provide us the same information or as much information, but it provides us a little bit. If we get to the point where we will do a detailed traffic study, we'll hire a company that comes out and does traffic counts.
I have more questions. That's okay.
Go ahead.
Bombard you with more.
Sure. Go ahead.
The form. How is that going to be available to a citizen? Is that going to be on the website? Is that going to be just a form that they would pick up at the public safety building?
Probably all of the above. Yeah. Okay. We'll probably put it on the website. Probably have it at City Hall. I don't know if they have a place for forms here at the police department, but if they do, we could put it there.
And with that form being more available, was there a form ever in the past?
Was there what?
Was there ever a form in the past for them to fill
no,
out?
No, there was
so
not.
So do you see this as maybe a raise in requests? Because now that there is a form, there's something spelled out, there's something for them to be more aware of that they can fill out?
It could be. But I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Yeah.
If people have concerns and they don't know where to complain or raise those concerns. Excuse me. I'm going to go grab it.
You need some water. One of the things I'm fascinated by is, as we talk about this, is we talk about local streets, collector streets, arterial streets, and I think even the highways, that a local street intersection with a local street probably doesn't warrant or need a stop sign except if the volumes are high enough or if there's crash data there. And it might be helpful, Jason, to just kind of talk about what are some of the collector streets in this town? What are some of the arterial? I maybe you haven't thought about that, but it'd be helpful to just kind of for us to be able to identify what is a collector and what is a local street and those kind of questions.
Yeah, so arterials, there's not a lot of arterials, and all arterials are actually owned by, are under the jurisdiction of ODOT. So Highway 219, College Street, Highway 99, Highway 240, those are all arterials. They're all under ODOT's jurisdiction, and the intersections would be all controlled by ODOT. So we wouldn't be approving stuff at those intersections. If we have an issue, we can talk to ODOT or request that ODOT make a change. But those are the arterials. Collectors, there's two different classifications of collectors, major and minor. And the collector streets would be like Villa Road, Winooski, Mountain View. So other than the arterials I mentioned, they're the other main kind of connector roads throughout the city. And then your local roads are all the roads that are off of that, the neighborhood roads and such.
Somebody else have a question, comment?
If I may, sure. Mr. Chair. Jason, can you go a little bit further on question criteria number 4 on page 2? You have collector streets that are controlled with an intersection of a collector street. Do you have some examples of that? Or let me ask it in a different way. Hayworth is what, a minor collector?
Hayworth is a major collector.
Hayworth is a major collector.
Yeah.
Villa is a major collector.
Yes.
Okay. Sitka is, or Elliott, or Deborah, are residential streets?
I'd have to check. I'm not sure off the top of my head. Let me
go okay. A little further so I can get to understand what you're saying here in 4. So if I'm looking at Hayworth, we have four-way stops at Hayworth and Sitka, Elliott and Sitka, and Deborah at Sitka, well, also at Springbrook for that matter, and Hayworth. So we're stopping a collector street. Explain those to me.
So number 3 and 4 both are addressing collector streets. Number 3 is collector to collector. Number 4 is everything else with the collector. So if you have a residential street that meets with the collector street, number 4 is saying that the residential street, the local street, would have a stop sign. That's what number 4 is addressing. So intersections of all other streets with collectors shall be stop controlled at the intersection with the collector. So if you have collector and collector, that falls under number 3. And
well, go back to my example.
Okay, so collector to collector would be a four-way stop.
So you're saying then that Sitka and Elliott and Deborah then are collector streets?
I don't know if they are or not. I'd have to check.
Okay, that's what is always been muddy. And we have other areas in town that are the same, but that's always been kind of muddy.
But I don't think there's any question about what there are some inappropriate stop signs in this town.
I don't want to go that far.
So, but the other piece of that is collector to collector would be a four-way stop unless one of those has significantly higher volume of traffic.
Which
so
takes,
Sitka,
me my, takes me to my next example.
Okay.
Second in college.
Yes. So
second is a collector.
Yes.
College is a
down there
south
of the highway.
South of First.
Is
it's a minor.
Is it a minor? Oh, you have the map. Perfect. So college is a minor collector. And second, does it say what second is?
This is Jeff. Second's a major collector and college is minor at that intersection.
So you have collect
those signs fast backwards.
Well, you have collect of course if you went by this policy the way it's written, collector to collector, it would be a collector to collector. And so according to this policy, you would say if you were to apply this policy, you would say it's a four-way stop unless one of those legs has significantly higher volume.
Okay. And my last one is going to your form, I'm looking at the second side of it. And I'm looking at down at the very bottom, and I up to there, I like what I saw. The application is received. This is by the city use. Application received, or date received, application received. Final determination on request. Yes, they want to, but then approved. Is that being done by the commission, or is that being done ministerially by staff?
The thought would be that it is done administratively by staff, and then those decisions would be brought to be ratified by the commission.
Is there an appeal process in your policy?
So the appeal process would be if they don't agree with the staff's decision, then they can come to the Traffic Safety Commission and present the information that they have at the time that this would come to be, that a decision would be come to be ratified by the commission. And they could address their concerns. If the commission makes a decision that they still disagree with and they'd like to petition, then they would follow the standard petition process that's currently in place.
Thank you.
And that appeal would be to the city council, is that correct? Yeah, okay.
So the way that I would see it is the staff would make a decision. So if a request comes forward, you look at the policy, and it's an issue that can be easily handled through just applying the policy that's adopted by the commission. Then the staff would make a decision on that issue, and then at the next Traffic Safety Commission meeting, we would come and if there's one or five that happened since the last meeting, we would come and you would do maybe that would be consent calendar, maybe that would be an agenda item, but it wouldn't, the thought is that it wouldn't be a full agenda item as it's been in the past.
Dave.
But that's, I mean, that's up for discussion.
This is David Hosseller. Just to clarify again, the approval and deny box in the bottom that Mayor had asked about, that is being checked before it is brought to the commission by staff.
Yeah, I mean, the details of how that happened, I mean, is definitely up for discussion, but I think the thought would be that would be part of the packet that you get, that you're, putting your official approval, yes or no, on. So we would come with you with, someone wants a stop sign here, we looked at it, here's the warrants, it meets these warrants, we recommend approval, and then at the next Traffic Safety Commission, you would see their, you would see their complaint, you would see this form that it's approved, and probably a cover memo that asks for your recommendation of approval.
And so kind of a follow-up question with that, what is the expectation for this form to be approved or denied for the citizen? So once they have, turned that in with their signatures, when are they getting notification back?
Well, we would be in pretty constant, not constant, but we would be in communication with them in regards to going out and meeting with them on the site to look at it and talking to them more to understand what the concern is, trying to figure out what the best solution is, whether it's a stop sign or not a stop sign, or if there's a bigger issue there. So I think we'd be communicating with them pretty regularly on it. And I mean, when the decision is made, they would definitely get notified of that decision. And they get notified of the Traffic Safety Commission meeting and when that happens.
One of the things I heard you say, I think, is that if there were a significant number of crashes at an intersection of, say, two local streets, then that would be a reason to consider. Where does that come under the five criteria on that second page, or is that included in the first provisions that listed under the warrants?
That would be under the warrants.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you might want to, and there were a couple of just editorial words that I, when I went through, I marked them up, and I'll just give you my copy rather than to make editorial comments here. But this was helpful for me, and I think it's a way I'd like to at least look at going, but I don't know about the rest of the commission and stuff. Jeff?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it gives a good background and reasoning why. So in my experience, the reason to do something like this is to let people consume this information and come to their own conclusion rather than having to explain the same thing over and over again. And I think this does a good job. And it gives people a way to collect all the information they need before they present it. And I think it was good work.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think Mr. Klein here.
Oh, he was after you.
Oh, he is? Oh, that's the first time.
Enjoy it while it lasts,
Jason,
sir.
I like this. And I think if you have somebody coming up to the front counter or calling down to you that if this were written for other than the Hartford Police Department, which I don't take issue with, but I think if we had something like this, right, we could put in the hand of our citizens,
right.
I think that would be great. So thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Neil.
Your turn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I apologize, Jason. My packet, I guess, is still in the mail, so I'm looking at this for the first time tonight. I applaud you for it. I applaud Carl. I think it's a great idea. I think it gives some direction, and I think it's a good movement for this commission and the city to go to, is to inform the public beforehand instead of you've been here and we've all been here for the can we please have a stop sign at every intersection on the south side of town. And I was like, well, next 10 years budgets isn't going to afford that. So I think it kind of maybe will answer questions and give some directions to citizens beforehand instead of us having to kind of explain the process at these meetings or when they show up at your doorstep at engineering trying to figure out how they can do it, and it'll save city time and staff time and things like that. One of the things I like is that staff works on it and comes up with a recommendation, and then it comes to this commission. Carl and I have gone round and round on this several times. I understand the warrants, and I totally agree with the warrants, but I think sometimes one of the benefits of having a commission like this in a city like this is that we know the roads, we drive the roads, we're experienced on the roads, so we can put in information that the warrants can't see, or, we can't get that data. It's not allowed, or it's not obtainable. And things. So I think we can do that. And examples of that are the 4th Street in Winooski. That was years ago, but it was a two-way stop, and the warrants did not say that it needed to be a four-way stopped. And we kind of asked and said, well, what would it take and everything? And we put the four-way stop in, and it's been applauded ever since. Everybody thinks it's a great thing. The College and 2nd Street, we went round and round with this commission on College and 2nd Street. And I stood in the doorstep of Painted Lady restaurant with the owner talking to her about it and everything like that. And we watched about four or five near misses happen that aren't documentable as warrants, but still somebody has to go home and clean their shorts because they almost had an accident right there. And so it didn't come to it. It's something that may come up again because it's a collector to collector type thing. I don't know. But I think this gives a good basis. So I fully recommend it. I fully support it.
Thank you, Neil. And I don't know if you remember, but when I think when I became chairman, one of the things I will tell you again is I recognize there are engineering aspects to our responsibility. There are also political aspects to our responsibility, and I'm not real good at the political stuff, and I'll depend on you to say, to hold me accountable for those, and I'll apologize for not being sensitive to that, as sensitive as I should be. I'd like to do two things. One is, Brian, I'd like to ask you if you have any comments or thoughts about this in a minute, but and the other thing that I would maybe think might be helpful is we talk about warrants. But it's kind of this voodoo myth. And it might be helpful just to have a couple of numbers someplace, you know, that says if the traffic on the major street is more than 6,000 vehicles per day, then you need to have a stop sign or just to let cross traffic in or the intersection. Some numerical number someplace, just so they know that there really are some numbers out there. You guys don't just go back to your desk and make them up and say, no, this one's rejected because it doesn't meet warrants and we won't tell them what the numbers are and stuff. So, Brian, do you have any comments, any thoughts, or are you going to stay silent? Because I see you get to review this stuff, too, as part of the...
You know, I agree with just about everything that's been said here, and the issues with stop signs sometimes are misconstrued for being more effective than what they really are. You know, we need to exercise some caution about putting them up all over town and, you know, putting them in areas where they're really useful and following the warrants rather than just when people come in and, you know, assume that if they put a stop sign in their neighborhood, it's going to fix everything when the reality is that it doesn't.
A number of years ago, the Lebanon school system had asked me to do some work for them. And one of the things was they were building a new elementary school. And as I began doing the research, one of the things that they said over and over and over in the literature is, don't put a lot of stop signs between people's homes and the school. Find a primary route, identify it so kids go there. Because if you stop at every intersection, people will stop stopping, and you make it risky for children that cross at every intersection. Let there be some predictability about where people cross and about the stop signs and stuff. Now, that's school, access to school as opposed to stop signs, but it's the same kind of thing you're talking about, I think. Go ahead, Jason.
So I just wanted to add or clarify something, is that the way that the policy is written in this draft form is that in order for a stop sign to be installed in a new location, one or more of the following criteria shall be met. So that could be the warrants based on the MUTCD, but it also could be one of these other numbers absent of warrants from the MUTCD. So I think in the past, engineering has pretty much come to you with it does or does not be warrants, and therefore our recommendation is this. And so this does broaden the city's policy, the city's warrants, essentially, for the installation of a stop sign.
I know for traffic,
signals, there is a phrase in the MUTCD that says warrants are necessary but not sufficient to install a traffic signal. And I've always been fascinated by that phrase. Warrants are necessary, but they're not sufficient. So what it means is the intersection has to meet warrants for a signal, but that may not be enough for it to get a signal. And I think what you're saying is that's not true with stop signs. And so I'm struggling a little bit with that, but then that's part of my problem, not yours.
Well, there's a difference between what an engineer would recommend based on warrants and what a political individual might make a decision on.
Anybody else? Any other questions? Thank you very much, Jason. This has been very helpful, and I'll get you my comments, and if the rest of you have editorial comments or ideas that you want to just share, and then you can bring something back to us or send it to us and let us review it, if that'll be okay. Anything else on this, and or we'll go to the next item on the agenda. And the next item is Villa Road traffic safety concerns. And there's nobody here, and Jason put it on there just in case somebody wanted to talk about it. Sure, what's going on?
So we held a public meeting for the Villa Road Improvement Project, which is the road project that we're going to do from it's from Hayworth to Park along Villa. And we had a public meeting the end of January. And there's a lot of safety concerns along that stretch of road. And one of their concerns is stop sign. Some of the folks want stop signs at Hayworth and Villa. And so it was the question was asked, isn't the city have a traffic safety group or something? And so I told them about this traffic safety commission, told them what the date was, and they had showed interest, at least at the meeting, in coming to talk to you guys. And so I told them I would put it on the agenda so that they had a placeholder to come speak. So maybe they'll come to the next one. I don't know.
Thank you very much, Jason. Neil?
So just a couple questions. That property at Villa and Park, is it going to be a development? Did it ever go through planning commission to be turned into anything, or is it going to stay vacant?
It was, the zone change went through, so it's the zone change has changed. They have not submitted an application for development.
Okay. All right, thank you.
At this time.
Brian?
I did receive a written communication from Ron Johns's wife, Gwen, concerning Villa Road. They're concerned about the development and the construction on Villa Road to include the dorm. Apparently there's new dorms being built on Villa Road at the college. Is that? Okay, an apartment complex, and they're worried about pedestrian traffic, and there's poor walkways, and the streets, a dangerous kind of windy road. So there wasn't any suggestions given. I just received the information that they see that as a potentially dangerous road for pedestrians. So I'm just passing that on.
Will that be part of the improvement, as you understand it, Jason?
Yeah, the improvement from Hayworth to Park is the boundaries of our project, and we're putting sidewalks and bike lanes in on both sides of the street through that whole stretch.
Do either of you want to ask a question or make a comment this evening? Come if you want to. Can you give us your name and address, please, then?
I'm Lee Boswell. I live at 2201 Willows Drive. And I'm one of the people who attended Jason's public meeting, and I didn't anticipate the formality of this meeting. But at least some of us are here from Jason's meeting, and he did a very good job. Living on Willow and using Hayworth, we're more concerned about the intersection of Villa and Hayworth. And especially when the high school kids are going to school, it's impossible for us to get out either end of Willow Street. And we had also wanted to ask, I think probably under some other business tonight, about what's happening with Elliott Street.
I don't know what's happening at Elliott Street. Let's ask. Does anybody know what's happening at Elliott Street?
Are you referring to the by 99, the construction that's going on, or?
Well, living in that area, we have become very aware that Elliott Street from Hayworth to 99W is really in poor condition. You know, it's difficult to get your car down through there without any damage. And there's all the construction going on at the intersection with 99, and So should we anticipate that there's going to be improvements to the street service? Should we anticipate there's going to be some closure while this is being done? And I realize I'm a little out of order here, but that was, Jason told us about this meeting tonight, and so we came.
Do you want me to address?
Go ahead, if you don't mind, Jason.
The construction that you're seeing right now is in relation to the development that's occurring right at the corner, the northwest corner of that 99 Elliott intersection. And the scope of their work, will provide a new surface to the road from the highway 99 through their development, but it's not going all the way to Hayworth. So that is a capital project for the city at some point in the future. I know it's a higher priority one. I don't know where it falls within the budget. I don't have that answer, but.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Is there any old business that we should talk about this evening? Okay. Engineering report. Do you want to report anything else, Jason?
I don't have anything else unless there's any other questions.
Okay. Brian, do you want to talk about the police?
Sure. Not a lot to report on tonight. Typically, Super Bowl Sunday has become one of the biggest party nights in the country. So lots of activity going on. Fortunately, we didn't have any issues going on over the weekend with Super Bowl Sunday. It was pretty quiet. One thing I'll tell you, we're going to start carrying Narcan in our patrol cars, which is the anti-venom, so to speak, for heroin overdoses. And so it's a nasal spray, and it's very easy to use. There's no side effects if the officer misdiagnoses the subject's condition. So in other words, if somebody's just having some kind of a problem and they apply the Narcan, it won't do anything to them, which is good. But if they are actually in a bad situation because of a heroin overdose, it'll pull them right out of it. And Neil, do you guys carry that stuff with you?
Yes. It's a very common old drug. It's been around for,
right.
I've been in EMS for over 30 years, and we've been using it for at least that long.
So the police we're going to start carrying it now because we typically beat the fire department to these calls. So
in Newburgh.
That's a joke. So anyway, the sheriff's department recently saved a guy's life out here in the county. So. It's an effective tool, and we're looking forward to getting it and getting trained up on it. And then, as you know, there was an officer in Seaside that was killed in the line of duty. And so we have some officers who are participating in the what we call the honor watch or honor guard watch of over his casket until his funeral takes place. So and we'll have some officers up in Seaside participating in his funeral as well. So that's all I got, unless we have some questions.
Are there any questions for Brian? Thank you very much. This last month I went to the Mayor's Forum for the first time. Kind of an interesting group. I don't know if you know, every month Mayor Andrews buys coffee for all of the committee chairs in the city at the hospital. How much does that cost? How much does coffee cost at the hospital there? And he buys breakfast for us. But it's an interesting time and a very informative time. I was struck. We had the executive from Portland Community College, Newburgh campus there, and she was talking about education. And the thing that struck me was, she asked, what do we need to focus on in Newburgh? And the guy next to me said, we need to work at financial literacy And the whole room just kind of said, boy, that's right. We got a problem with financial literacy in this town. And I thought that was just unexpected for me, but very perceptive and very interesting. If there are things you want me to ask the mayor, or you have things you want me to ask other committees in the city, let me know, and I'll be glad to ask them and put them on the spot. Let's go around and see if any commissioners have any comments or things they want to share. Dave? Okay. Jeff? Okay. Jeff? Neil? Dan? Zoe? Mayor?
For those of you that are keeping any kind of track whatsoever on the issues, which may have come to you, but I don't think they will, on the intersection of 219 and the Wilsonville Road, I think we've come to a resolution on that with all parties involved, which will take us back to the original routing of Wilsonville Road in the corridor for the bypass. So. I think we're not going to be putting added burden on our residential streets. So that's a concern that we, those of you that are close to the Planning Commission, what have you, that's what we've been wrestling with. And the other one, you were talking about Villa Road. And I don't know whether, was it Sergeant Jones that you got the memo from? Whether she was talking about the area between Fulton and Laurel or not, with the two new dorms, parking on the street there is causing some, well, it's not congestion, but it's certainly causing some traffic to slow down, which is good. But the issue of the missing sidewalk, the city is in the process of condemnation so that we can get that little short piece of the sidewalk there on the south side of Villa across from Laurel. So that's just a couple of little insights that are going on. None of them are a done deal yet, but we're working in that direction.
Well, and you keep working and you get there, and that's the nice thing about what you do. I think I don't have anything else for the evening, and if no one else does, I'll adjourn this meeting. Do I need to have a motion for that, to adjourn?
Sure.
I'd like a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
Wait, we need a first.
Chair,
okay, I'll make a motion. We adjourn the meeting, and you want to second it?
Yes, I'd like to second that.
Okay, thank you. And I declare the meeting adjourned.